Chilian. Honorable Mackenzie, will arrive late. Honorable Cookies will arrive late. Can those colleagues will join us and proceed for the meeting. Our agenda item is just one, honorable members. I think one of the things that we have to do, possibly the next meeting, is to just get, so that we don't have outstanding reports that are low, which we will try and get the report to come to the support. Agenda item report is briefing from the Department in Council on the spectrum policy and the post office moving forward. We have received a presentation received from both the department together with a presentation received from ICASA. The members we have the research analysis that has been developed a system with engagement. So, I think it's important for us to look at this is one of the areas that is has been coming up from the various stakeholders of the EIS. I think in our last meeting, the meeting that we had when we had discussion around the over-the-top services, in charge of what was raised by speakers and people in the constitution, was the clarity and discussions and how and mainly that the issues in on the day on the spectrum network issue. So it's quite important for us to have this discussion today so that we can just have a sense of where the issues are and how we are moving as a country on this issue. So I'm going to firstly allow the minister just to have some opening remarks. Then have the department to do the presentation, then have CASA to do the presentation. Then we'll take questions, comments, and engagement on them. I hope that's going to be correct. As I said in the opening, welcome to the minister and the team to take them open.
Good morning. Now, thanks for the opportunity to come and discuss the processes of where we are on the spectrum policy. As we indicated last year, that we really aim to finalize the policy by the end of next month. To go through the process of happiness and wounds and damage of the available. But the process has been very open. The spectrum policy will be part of the National Integrated ICT Policy program and the second focus on the board. So it will be a chapter. And as you know, we started with the dream papers, framing paper, and last year we received the panel report where the stakeholders, the public and the industry in particular has been having dynamic input to these policies. Without presenting the policy criteria, the what is emerging out of these processes of conversation, that we should first finish our policies on the Constitution. That's the first premise. Apply on the right issues where we try and avoid the issue of inequality. We cannot afford in our policy to treat the rural people as if they are less important than the urban people. So the principles of inequality will be issued from. The second premise we are using the policy. Because now we have got a national development plan established in 2018 class. And I would really urge members to continuously read that chapter on the ICT when they talk about information and communication infrastructure from each member of the NDP. I think it's a useful read because most of the decisions will have to take into account what is coming out of the National Development Plan. As you know, that over the last 2 years we started implementing the NTP, and we started writing policy over action policy across government. When they say that the ICT will underpin the development of dynamic information and the knowledge economy, that's not the case. When they talk about facility being available and affordable systems, that would be underpinning these policies. And then when they say there may be a need to review the market structure and analysis of the benefits and options for infrastructure sharing, that comes from the NPT. They will need a common carrier network. It will need analysis of the benefits and cost of infrastructure certification, stability, or service-based competition. Those are the choices we have to make. Whether are we continuing with infrastructure competition or moving to service-based competition. Those are two questions which are in the NDP itself. And the duplication of infrastructure, that's what it comes about. If we are going to infrastructure sharing, what option we'll make? So I thought I should have been though that the NTP continues as a constitution to be the guiding line on what we'll be doing. And also, what the South Africans are saying as well is going to be quite critical. Without preempting the policy, because we still have to go through this process, I think from the discussion which has been very often had before, for instance, when coming to spectrum as a topic of course, it belongs to all of us, the public store, which means sometimes it becomes darker and then becomes a spectrum source. And how do we deal with a scarce resource that is for the benefit of all South Africans? That's what the policy will try and do. Currently, as you know, there are over 400 licensees, but only 6 that was under inspection. Yes, not all 400 may need, but majority of them need inspection for them to do their operation. That's a challenge we have to confront before we finalize this policy. As you know, also the current policy is first come, first served. And you come late, you say, oh, we'll remove all the packages, there's nothing left. So we'll have to, really, what is coming up here is that the first come, first served approach may not be beneficial for our long-term development and growth of the ICT industry. And as I said, the unequal treatment of licensees, we may not afford. Some of these licensees have been threatened to take a court because they can't have spectrum in their own country when they want spectrum in other countries. They have delivered these services in their country, but they are not allowed. So this barrier to entry, particularly of the small operators, would have to be done in the manner. The issue of creation of artificial monopolies because of our policies will have to be dealt with. Whether it's in a fixed or mobile, because we all agree artificial monopolies don't really happen with the price of capital. So those are the things we'll be trying to. There are quite a number of principles we are working on, for instance, that as a central source, we have to better use the best technologies available when we are deploying those sources, but we don't keep on calling into the spectrum. And the principles of using collusion, those are the principles we are really considering seriously as we go towards the efficient utilization of the spectrum. So those are the things that God has just given, and the capacity to refresh and audit what is actual utilization of the spectrum would have to be somehow accommodated in the new spectrum policy, so that we can know who's using it for what. The challenge really is as we move towards 2030, and as members have heard, it is now what is called the fourth industrial revolution, which is driven by this mobile connectivity. And it's the choice we have to be made what type of spectrum that they are very good to carry that in the future, so as to remain globally competitive in the world. So those are the things we are basically looking at. The transformation remains important in the countries that are taking our horizontal task of attacking and colonialism. So whatever we do, we'll have to make sure that also facilitate the transformation of the industry itself, and allow those who are not allowed to participate, or give them a chance to participate in giving this service to other people to do so. So the NPP also talks about open access, that it has to be one of the considerations we have to look at. We are seriously looking into those, and I'm sure when we come with the finance policy, those are the issues we should be focusing our own attention. Let me just say, at the end of the debate, we will hear of arguments, so let us allow one or two operators to operate. And we strongly believe for us that there should be matters to operate our operating. We should not reduce the barriers to entry into the industry. It's not all given that there should be two national operators on the fixed side. It's not given that there should be two dominant players on the mobile side. It's all those happened because of our treaty policies. We're dealing with certain conditions, and now we're dealing with different conditions. So that's why the review. The review must also have a long-term view. We're not looking at policies which should last 5 or 10 years. We must have a longer view, more than 10 years. So that we're not just constrained by the current prevailing environment, but must take into account what are the prevailing socio-economic conditions in the country. I thought that should just be the next one, and we'll be here to answer the questions on the department and the entities that made that presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for another presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I start the presentation, I would like to request the members of the delegation of the department to be discussed.
Morning, Jen. Morning, everyone. My name is Solomon, the director of the Defense Spectrum.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Solomon, the Community Department of the Telecommunications.
Thank you, Jen. Our point to the presentation is that in order to provide the context of spectrum, so that we are all on the same page and we apply the process that we follow where we are and what we intend to do. We'll give a background in terms of the general also look at the international development, the policy, pollution, mechanism, and also some of the constraints and policy objectives that we need to achieve and also apply where we are and also the regulation to move forward. So, as the minister has already indicated, the NDP says he provides the need to look at mobile communication broadcasting, telephone broadcasting program in Tanzania, also requirement of satellite broadcasting, artificial intelligence, on the spectrum plan.
If we look at the total development of the content of the airtime, then the content is only unattended and damaged. Besides, I think it's the new system, claiming at the call that the new system to facilitate the use of things. How can you level one track policy direction that was issued to facilitate the release of the 2.6 MHz band? And then it was shortcoming in the CDG identified in that because government wanted to cover the entire country using that land. But because technically the implementation that the service providers and the law is also very special in order to achieve those coverage obligations that government was hoping to achieve. Health was the issue to begin at that position. And in 2012, they were developing at the international level to take in consideration that with the advent of the standardization, there will be spectrum that will become available in the 800 and the 700 MHz band, and then another policy direction was issued to take up those developments into consideration. And that, when until after the web-based conference that was in 2012, which also then has ensured that there is a need, in particular by developing countries in Africa, that the spectrum of broadcasting, although broadcasting is very important, it requires a spectrum, mobile requires the spectrum to cover the most areas in Africa, and the growth in the need of the 200 MHz spectrum. And in 2019, in kind of after the intervention of the release of the broadband policy, the South Africa Connect, the department had a workshop with industry and other interested stakeholders to look at how do we affect the process to release spectrum. And while the decided to make a policy on the workshop, that there are policy gaps in the current policy spectrum and policy framework. However, the partners are making on the policy direction that we facilitate the release. And then you see the finalization of the South Africa policy was then put in consideration, which could not be finalized as part of that process. But they said that the department will let look at that. And one of some key considerations will be around the issue of open access in particular in the wide environment. So that process is going to be department are going to that, but and how we make sure that the spectrum is released in a way that it supports competition and universal level. And that process unfolded, it came clear that with the parallel process that started in the policy review, the spectrum also depended on other policies. Effective deployment of the infrastructure which needs to enable the infrastructure around issues around openness, which is in there, which is probably positive view, also need to be finalized because the impact in terms of outlook of future spectrum policies. So in 2014, this is consultation part of the policy review, and now policy computer consolidation, and skills that are implemented, which can be made in the report that was submitted. In terms of the global that's happening in the international arena, that this fourth revolution is already upon us, in particular, the cause of mobility, the Internet of Things, smart cities, all the same end in the machine-to-machine communication. As part of the broadband policy, it identifies one of the key features that can buy, that both countries, while focusing on ensuring that the policy and the infrastructure are not out, but are being left out from this revolution, which affects everyone in terms of how we want to be doing business or the meeting with citizens in a different country. So taking all this because it's important that we finalize the policy target of the influence so that policy on both policy legs, those technological development, which is not inhibit the innovation. And also there was a web-based conference last year in 2015, and then another conference was prepared that made particular issues with the capital spectrum and satellite spectrum pertaining to mobile communication. In 2007, the release of the internet from the GHz spectrum followed by the 750 GHz spectrum, which was not finalized until last year because another technical consideration needs to be considered as international to ensure that the compatibility of the spectrum. Furthermore, there are other spectrum areas that have been released. So the spectrum policy has been finalized before they go to the organization. Also, going forward, in terms of the fifth generation of spectrum, we will be able to provide much more services, so also be enabled by the policy. So in terms of our assessment of the spectrum policy framework, we need to look at whether the current framework is sufficient to address the government objectives. And it's consistent from the 2012 NDP that the way regulatory issues are addressed, and so the spectrum is not there in current policy framework. But it was addressed because the policy is that spectrum is an agent. And also, SA Connect as well addressed spectrum policy issues and open access, and what is the most efficient way to link the spectrum so that it has to achieve the objective of communication. And also the control of our IT government together. And we now the 2015 policy process. So I think the conclusion is that the bill needs to pay a framework which provides a sense to everyone in terms of how the country is going to be money and live going forward. And the next thing that we have to provide the special framework is also for terms of the need for the policy to look at the different policy instruments. There were certain particular systems that we identified in 2010, for example, which was the basis for releasing spectrum. There was a need to ensure that the spectrum approach or the policy framework is effective enough to allow various market approaches to release the spectrum that was coming from the policy of 2010. And also that the objectives were not very clear in the last set of policies, because the various policy objectives that government had for the try and balance both the interest of the citizens, but also to enable the sector itself to be able to achieve the targets set by government in the most effective way. And also, there was the issue so that the policy aligned with the SSB and the best the Connect policy. Ensure that the skills which are the government. Although the need for high-quality organization is not going to be the need for additional spectrum that are required to the ring. However, the growing demand, both from a traffic point of view, the amount of data traffic for services and like that, skills spectrum, but also from the number of service providers who are interested in using the spectrum. And in South Africa, in particular, as part of the South African foreign policy, an assessment was done to identify where the infrastructure can get but and consider that it's mainly access network, and that's where the fiber commission comes very crucial and the spectrum of the children will have to start mentioning that. Also, I will not suggest the information because the policy gaps as well as identify the fact. Into that the way that you can that may be close or detailed address in order to set the table for the spectrum. And now we can see the view process, the presentation, that it's important that spectrum derives from the brain. And also, we need to ensure the provision for address issues of using the barriers that is into the market, things for the nation that the deal brings in spectrum stocks available, and how do we see the competition for players in the market. And we foresee that should spectrum set aside on the open access on a wholesale framework and address some of the policy objectives within the policy. And then these are the key issues going forward now for them to look at what we did agenda just proving. Because each of the roles between the minister and regulator, to ensure that all are working in an aligned manner, achieve those objectives, and make sure that some of the mechanisms which will ensure that the civil sector management that is put in place, in order to ensure that we achieve the self-service obligation and ensure that the licensing of the system is done in an effective manner. And issues will be sector training and sector sharing, farming and migration. So to say, like, some of things are already happening in the industry, but it will be a framework that we need to find that the essential that government be approved for that. And current approaches in monitoring is for example for this week exclusive use, but then that also increases the barrier to entry in terms of some of operators that they can have as a sector. So in terms of evolution of the program as well, since the slide is the last pillar, the country has been moving along development in our lines that are being intentional, but also the higher the middle and existing player. And where we are now to see us moving forward, we continue with that approach, or we will approach that also the government community in the country has been provided to be able to benefit from the development in the more sector. It costs more than 400 to 500 licenses who have got high excess spectrum. I mean that in the case of all of them have got the capacity to use that those who are able to use the spectrum. So and then how do that those such challenges in the current deposit system, right? And then some of the issues is that one we want to have an availability of infrastructure, in particular in the underserved rural areas. When one looks at the entire ecosystem, it's not economically desirable that it's going to continue with the implementation of infrastructure in this area. Because eventually, those need to deploy infrastructure don't see sufficient return on their investment and they need that either become the property of the end user to be able to enjoy the things that they enjoy in the affluent area. More infrastructure is going to be rolled out in this area. So the easy challenge is to show the of infrastructure and show that we might roll out of that infrastructure. And we can very challenging as well. And in terms of spectrum, also going from the traditional telecom mobile operators and other interested companies, like the internet providers, the over-the-top operators, these companies that in broadcast, consider the future development in technology. Will be able to use the same infrastructure platform to offer the service. So there's huge demand for that spectrum. So, and because of them also it does allow various innovative ways to take advantage of the spectrum. So in terms of the current challenge, this does show that initially the quality of all of that, the same amount of spectrum applied to but that policy approach soon is a challenge because we're no longer a shared spectrum. And we see those licenses and licenses later, they were unable to get spectrum in the lower end, yet the unit is access to that spectrum in order to be able to effectively compete. So that's the possibility for them. So then those are some shortcomings that they are there. And then we see more operators in the sector. That can be much more prevalent that those new entrants were only confined to the high frequency bands, which are very costly in terms of rollout infrastructure, and you know, not necessarily able to be part of the larger ecosystem in the area. So we need to address the grant in the infrastructure. And while we are looking forward, if one was to affect the unsigned spectrum that is available, generating that approach will not be able to serve us. Allocating part of the money that we are immediately, we have to do the issue of the fragmentation of the frequency band, because that becomes the limitation in terms of offering for themselves to them aside more chance of spectrum, which does not make it easy or economically, the service provider to offer the high speed for the that we have. So they need that you need to need high amounts of sector, but if you do that, then you need a number of service providers. And the issue of sharing and open access becomes also very important. This can not only affect the advantage of the other countries, but also the challenge, and we are looking at various ways to try and address this, because Mexico, Australia, Rwanda, they are different ways of trying to address this. And they all unfortunately are at a different stage to be learning much from them. Just so that the challenge does not only mean this. So going forward, in terms of what we are addressing, those policies, which some of them need to be almost classifications by the government, because they're going to try and try to balance all those competing policies of the issue. So there's competition, there's notification of the transaction, there's affordability to the services that the users require. So it's important that we revise those policies. We also provide the type of guidelines and policies that we hold, especially the same policies. And also we understand the interest of the internet in terms of the investment in the infrastructure, but also expectation from the new interest that we are doing in the sector. So we need to try to find that balance. And looking at the broadband policy, the first ambitious target, for example, our presence is trying to achieve how to meet the types of people. So we can say that we finalize the policy, you know, we take the commitment that we want to constitute from the constitution itself. So, the policy of actions that will be in the context of the policy approach, which will ensure that access to certain resources will promote the physical safety of life and at the same time, really saving from. And also, that ensure that the licensing process will contribute to the realization of the policy of safety. So, we have the use of the spectrum. And help to achieve quality, cultural, and social benefits for all of them that are here. And we need to set aside programs to support for them employment. And also, we have to align the open access approach that we have taken in supporting the quality approach of sharing the infrastructure. And the second, we need to ensure that these help to achieve important coverage in the underserved areas and ensure that as many as a possible benefit from the use of the system. Although we took an element in the right way, it's innovation while addressing the internet challenges. And the principle that will guide us that we promote openness, transparency, and we promote infrastructure sharing. And also, we are going to be concerned in terms of the spectrum that we are buying, or that we are buying, and it's not being used, because it's also being used in the denying experience of economic benefits. It's a policy framework that is stable in the sector for the investors and the sector as well. So, in terms of our anticipated outcome, that will bring 15 managers in the spectrum, and will reduce the time of the that we receive from the sector in terms of the timeline required to finalize the application. And also what we want to achieve the challenges of the infrastructure for the policy. Provide clear framework on how to use spectrum in the supply, the risk and the demand. And also the spectrum to feed open access infrastructure sharing framework, but there is a balance that we need to continue investing in infrastructure. And also, we have to support the business. So, as the last slide on the board, we are having the courses following the things that we are. So, we have identified the policy gaps through various policy processes, which are all familiar with the policy gaps. We have to be the benchmark against other sector policies in other countries. We are waiting on finalizing the sector policy, which is part of the integrated policy white paper.
and as we finalize the policy or paper, we will expect that the return of money and then also the consultation process to government and the government plan that process is rather than currently in the policy cabinet and then the government on the white paper. And after that, the thing is that this will be provided is that shared clear policy framework for the cars that you want to proceed in the license. The ever there is need for the policy action.
And that's what we take into account, spectrum requirements for commercial and public use. Second, that partner is Partnership Connect, which has been spoken to, which sets out targets for 2020 that is 100% of the access by our citizens. And even though the annual speaks are also anticipated, the 100% by 2020. The third is the ETA, which was passed in 11 years old now, which anticipated the convergence in technologies and then thus adopting a technology neutral licensing framework. It actually for the authority to ensure that there's an efficient use of spectrum and promote open fair and non-discriminatory access to services, the points that the implementation by the department was making. Also to facilitate competitive markets, as well as to ensure that the user sustainability of the sector. And also to ensure that there is a universal provision of affordable quality communication service. Yes, I said about the situation around this particular issue. I'm sure most of you are customers of animal operators with experience and challenges. The policy outlines policy principles that for the open spectrum policies was adopted in 2010. First principle is that the spectrum management should be efficient, effective, and transparent in a transparent manner and based on the tracking principles. Second is that the spectrum training should ensure that all assignments serve the national interest, which is a point that was also emphasized in the presentation. And of course, taking into account the requirements for public use of spectrum for government agencies, research, and so on. But also, in going by the broadcast digital migration policy as amended, and it supports this policy framework, because broadband and DTT have quite a symbiotic relationship in terms of the release of spectrum. So since 2011, as a sequel to the 2010 Spectrum Policy Directive, where we developed radio frequency spectrum regulations, and they also developed National Radio Frequency Plan, which was approved by the Minister. And of course, given the development in 2012, we had to design the frequency migration plan, and as a result, in 2014, but then we published the anti-roadmap. The two regulations, the one on the Telecom Broadcast Frequency Plan, as well as the Telecom Broadcast Frequency, they take care of the requirements of broadcasting. So the details will follow in the next slide. End of March last year, we revised the 2010 Telecom Frequency Spectrum Regulation, and the regulation is to ensure that we allocate an assigned appropriate spectrum with a very predictable regulatory framework. It also sets out standards and conditions for spectrum fees. The situation that was already highlighted by AG, so we had to cure that situation. They also establish a transparent, fair, and efficient procedures and processes for spectrum license applications. And also they are also applying procedure and criteria for our spectrum license for competing applicants. We also have the National Radio Frequency Plan 2013, as we are required by the ECA to update the plan on a continuous basis. And now with the last 15, we may just have to have a look at that and see if this becomes amendment that needs to be done. So the updated plan in the main is to implement the resources of resources to the 232 of the last 12, which allocated the term in the band 694 to 790 MHz mobile and broadband and broadcasting on a core primary basis, which make implementation of NT700 impossible. With that above 15,
and 700 is now allocated on a primary basis for AMC, no longer on a corporate primary basis. Then our organization take care of that situation. 2013, we gazetted the radio frequency migration plan, which is about a review of migration plans since 1996 to 2010, and documented the change of geography 12. The way spectrum was allocated before created the situation for the authority, and therefore there was a need for some migration plan to be developed and migrate some of the capacity out of certain bands and make sure that I able to clear and license the spectrum in the most efficient way. We also have the terrestrial broadcasting regulations of 2013 and 2014. The initial one makes provision for 3 months passes, which was carried SMBC, community, second one, MNET, and history, and also the present license subscription and also free to air. But it also makes provision for the 7 months passes in the UHF band in the frequency 2.7694. And I'm sure as we proceed, the issue will have to be addressed in terms of how we license the format that are remaining. In terms of the roadmap, the key driver development of AMC band critical in rolling out broadband in order for us to realize the objectives of making sure that everyone has got access to broadband as a frequent capacity. And our roadmap also deals with the deployment in the area of the 700 MHz and 800 MHz as dividend bands and also the 2.6 bands to provide universal service. The other two bands give more capacity and rural coverage and to provide this capacity, particularly in the metropolis and high-rise buildings. According to the Connect policy, the official assignment of scale use of the highest multiplex transmitter segment is right rather than the cost of not using the spectrum is quite high. This map shows the challenge with regards to the universal service obligations, how the concentration of people has spread throughout the country. What this case is that most of the people who are under service occupy less than 10% of the land area. And the broadband services in this area will still fall behind and decline economically because the areas where the small settlements, cultural farming and so on. And these areas can effectively cover 780 megahertz bands. And possibly from 2019 to 2022, in the 450 and 400 megahertz bands. Currently, there's 108 megahertz of spectrum assigned, both using IMT and also 8 megahertz for GSM in South Africa. However, by 2020, we require a minimum of 10,011 megahertz and a maximum of 10,000 megahertz, which requires for us to achieve the objectives of our connect as well as the NTT vision of 2030. And the bulk of that spectrum requires in 700-800 as well as in 2.6. This slide, I think, was eloquently spoken to by the lab presentation. Now, the following would constitute the routes going forward with regards to licensing of the high-demand spectrum. 2014, we published the top roadmap, which deals with technical options and specific studies, events, and usage and migration. so that we have it in term and make sure that our government has it. And we published the final IMT roadmap in 2015, March last year, which then deals with those issues that we have defined. And of course, the radio frequency spectrum plans, which we also published. And last year also we published information memorandum, which was the main consultation process, which provides information and source input from industry and possible applicants regarding the radio frequency spectrum license within certain designated areas and what will be the requirements. Where we are now, it's revised consideration of representations arising from that process. So if you look at our APT, our target for this function is that we've got to be ready to license the IMT spectrum for those three identified bands and the part of that process. 20 meters ranging, we're looking at probable publishing of the ICA and we're clear that by the end of this financial year we'll be having a policy provided by the department. And because the process will not be lengthy, but we will pray and fight and ensure that probably before 2017-18 the license will be granted. On top of this, we've also published the dynamic spectrum management policy discussion document. We then looked at and we work with SIR. We then looked at what are the probabilities for managing the TV watch spaces. And that process is still ongoing. We've also published a discussion document on band and mid-band. We help you to set a regulatory framework for the use of those bands. And of course, we also published infrastructure sharing discussion document, which will then result into whatever framework that we require to deal with the issue that the last presentation has raised. So the few will take us through the next presentation. The next slide, two slides remain. One, that's the international perspective, and as well as the potential impact of spectrum assignment to South Africa. And the COO spent about 6 weeks in Geneva. So, that's about that minute. See you.
See you. Thank you, Councillor. Another question, another member. Essentially, the world over, the approach has been before on licensing of the so-called Taiwan spectrum. In general, the spectrum is the sense that are being looked for five tier broadband deployments. It's either countries focus on maximizing the amount of money that they get from the sale of optional spectrum. Two, the other alternative is to look at coverage of different areas of the country, making sure that the whole country or a particular country is covered. But three, then we look at combining the two, getting a certain amount of money out of the sale of spectrum, and then at the same time making sure that the adequate coverage, especially for rural areas. The EU Commission is planned to release 750% of megahertz for mobile services, and making sure that they restrict CB broadcasting to the band for 3694, which is below 700 MHz. In Region 1, which were part of, three particular countries were going to specify generally when it auctions the 800 band and the 26 band. What about 3.5 billion rand? Oh, I mean, euros. They got that, but at the same time, they actually specified that anybody who gets a license in the 800 band, that they must cover rural areas before they deploy or they use the 810 in this. And they make sure that they have a population of capacity that is inadequate. Spain gained about 305 million euro and Switzerland gained 497 million euros. Region 3, the Asia region, Australia got about 2 billion Australian dollars, and then in the auction of the second digital dividend, 7,694,790. Canada in Region 2, which is the Americas, they raised over 5.2 billion Canadian dollars. And Brazil raised about 2.39 billion US dollars. But they also charged an extra amount of money to mitigate broadcasting moving out of the air. So what I'm trying to point out here is that different countries look at how they ensure that the broadband supply is adequate, covers the needs of the population, covers their national interests. A study done by Deloitte in Sub-Saharan Mobile Operator Report, they indicated benefits that could get from the additional IMC spectrum, including the third digital dividend and the third digital dividend, for the subject of a mobile period of 2015-2020. And they essentially indicated that we can have an increase of over 10 million broadband mobile broadband subscribers. They estimated more than 21% increase in mobile broadband penetration. Our calculation recently on mobile broadband or broadband coverage in South Africa about 37%. Meaning that if you release spectrum, we can go above 50% of coverage. South Africa for next target, at that by 2020, we should be having 100% mobile broadband penetration. However, if we don't release the spectrum now, that we're not going to achieve. If we look at the estimations that are here, if we do an increase to now, we allocate that spectrum and we get about 21% increase, then it means we'll only have roughly about 58% mobile broadband penetration for 2020. By 2020, there will be a debate on the rest of the countries are looking at 5G. In South Africa, we're already in LTE and no LTE. It has not gone that far. All the operators are doing now is experimenting around the 1.8 GHz in order to roll out LTE completely enough. There can be an increase of about $15.9 billion in GDP as a result. About $30 billion in debt revenue. We can achieve about 1.4 million jobs additionally in the economy. What this data simply illustrates is the opportunity cost of not licensing the health sector. Because we're so behind on LTE, what can easily happen is that by 2020, we will stay in catch up on 5G. Purely because we're behind on LTE, so we will, at the time, be playing catch up all the time, or playing catch up in digital migration, or playing catch up in LTE or broadband deployment, we will play catch up in 5G. When other people or other countries will be moving far ahead of us, we will still be sitting behind. Say, well, how long are we going to take to get there? That's what we're essentially doing. I'll now hand over to Rick in the world of attending the World Data Conference. He's more patient than me, so he can talk about it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, Minister, Minister, EGM colleagues, my talk is a simple one, and just to correct the the misconceptions are being created. I also in the tourist agency like my other connection, so I could say it's reasonably in line with the standard kind of plan. I think the DG spoke to some of the issues that came out of the URC 15. I think mine is just to highlight some of the priority areas going forward as well as what we consider to be the key implications of the decisions that we made. I think the first point there is just to outline some of the additional trends that have been identified for IAG going forward, and also just to also highlight the combination of primary allocation in the civil management that has been for Region 1. And I think the other important thing that you to highlight was that there was also a resolution to address the compatibility of the mobile services with the broadcasting services in that day. The last two points talk to future agenda items or the priority areas for WRC19, and just to outline some of the trends that have been identified for future studies. And I mean, the key takeaway there is just to say that from the ICASA perspective, we'll obviously be working with the department and all the other stakeholders in the country to make sure that we coordinate the African participation and priorities in the next World Radio Conference. The next slide. The next slide is just to outline from my perspective what the decision that came out of WRC mean for us. And I think the key thing there then as pointed out by the presentation by departments is that the 700 megahertz band can now be assigned in full to mobile services. And we think that's quite critical for us in terms of meeting the objectives that our clients from a problem deployment perspective in both the SA Connect and the NDP. And then finally, another point that the department spoke to is the use of the harmonized frequency ranges for public protection and disaster relief services, which is to take into account the national security requirement. So that's also a key outcome for us, as we need to ensure the availability of spectrum for use by emergency services as well as other security agencies. And finally, we thought we would just outline what we consider to be the guiding objective for spectrum targets. I think on this note, we take note of the review or the policy that will still be emanating from the department and the ministry. And I think at a high level, we thought some of the key issues to consider in our role within assigning the spectrum are those four. Basically, we need to ensure that the manner in which the spectrum is aligned will achieve universal broadband coverage, that it will facilitate entry by new players in the market, that it will encourage transformation in the sector in line with the broader policy objectives around the need to transform the economy and ensure participation and inclusiveness of all in the country. And more importantly, that we also create a stable and sustainable environment for future investment and also for future evolution of technologies. And while we do all that, we get to be guided by our national policies as well as by what they're doing in international arena. And that concludes our presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the presentations. I think members have received the opening remarks from the minister. We got the presentation from CCS. We now with the councillor within the team from ICASA. I'm going to look first for questions, comments. We'll start with four questions and answers under the 7-1 conclusion. So four questions and then back so that we are able to
I don't know how to manage it.
thank you, Vincent. I'll save all the meat for my technical associate. Just in terms of the ICASA presentation, thank you very much, very informative. You mentioned a lot about auctions and how much money was raised to auctions and the ability to as part of the auctions, to leverage the use of spectrum to as part of an allocation to buy development in rural areas. Just to the Minister and the Department, you didn't include any mention of auctions in your presentation. Have you considered auctions? Have you considered auctions? What is your policy or your position on the possible auctioning of spectrum? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I was glad to see that, or to hear that the ICASA and the department referred to SA Connect as an important topic that they think was neglected to mention SA Connect at all. I'm concerned about the timeline. If we all know that the allocation and assignment of the high demand spectrum is critical, when you look at all the money that obviously that could be raised to assist us by getting it out there quickly. That we only expect to see the spectrum awards being in 2017, 2018. Now, I know that there's a lot of careful process that has to go on here to avoid, legal action by people who feel that's on the sideline. But is there any way you can fast track this? Can we not have, by the end of the year, this year, the criteria for assignment and then stop the assignment project next year? So that's all over and done with by 2017. Because I look at it being available only to about 2018. You know, it's like 2019, 2020 before you can actually access it. And as we actually don't have that much time, A, we need money from back to spectrum available. And B, the people who want to use it need to actually grow the economy. Because without them growing the economy and adding use to the base, there's going to be no tax to go forward. So you have some review that. Also, I don't know why we need to be calling with the ICT review paper. Why we need to break that? Why it can't be? Can you please explain why it can't be a standalone model? And that would really help us get it out there faster. I was going to ask about auctions. What incentives or obligations will there be to license applications? To actually roll out in the underserved areas from when they get it, rather like Germany. There needs to be, I think, a more inclusive process of all these network operators, whatever, class and so on, to be involved in the rollout of the day of all these connects. There can't be, there must be some incentive, some something for them in it. It can't just be another tax or some sort of a punitive thing. Then because of the 700 band was available now, is that right? That could be assigned for use for compliance with IT regulations 2016. Is that correct to apply to that? Or is that all going to be bundled with sort of what's happening in 2017? Can also please explain to me what the tap period for Venture is? That's on slide 15, and we haven't ratified it, and if so, why not? Let me get a look at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for
only one question from the department. Can the department tell us how to make the spectrum available in a manner that promotes competition and encourages development?
I think we'll be able to listen from quite a house to have a sense of where the issues are and the direction where the department and CASA is taking. And I think that is the issue of the time frame. Just to reaffirm, I think also of a transition from the department that is, I think it's like we see the indications in terms of time frame and with much to the recent minister and submission to cabinet. But after there isn't clarity, because you got approval in cabinet as part of the ICT White Paper, and then CASA might be trying to use the CASA now.
In terms of the challenges
but it could also mean that only those with deep pockets are able to access the spectrum, and if any of colleges are on the spectrum, the funds that are raised through the licensing process could also be being used for the rollout of infrastructure. So it is that balance that's required. That's the way the approach at the moment is in terms of infrastructure sharing. If the focus is on the rollout of infrastructure, we need open access, rather have the funds focus more on the rollout of the infrastructure. But of course, those are some of the policy issues that are being considered and that will be implemented in the next. I'm sure the can also elaborate on those. In terms of the question from Mr. Shimon, why the spectral policy can be a standalone policy, why we integrated with the policy review. The initial approval, looked at the policy direction, of course we find that it was inadequate. But then, as I said, after the consultation as part of the ICT policy review, other policy issues emerged, in particular issues pertaining to rapid deployment, which is very crucial, and government must also be able to enable the licenses and zero issues of implementation of the infrastructure. Yet, even on the SA level, the spectrum side is the provision that we need to address the issues of implementation of the infrastructure. The issues around open access, what's the framework for open access that's going to be adopted by the country. So it's well realized that that's why it could not be even during the SA level. This policy is very different to be handled separately. And apparently, they try to analyze the policy that you have to, whatever you don't expect, that there's going to impact on open access or whatever you don't expect, that affects how your policy framework going forward is going to be. And now it's not just only being included in the policy review because it's a national chapter, but more to say, as we look at the involved in interaction between different policies, we're able to have a integrated policy approach to all of them. That is question on the obligations to talk about in terms of whether the service provider also being needed to be involved. And I think it is a very important thing, also consideration is also one of the policy issues to say the obligations going forward have got to be aligned with the objectives that government has. And in doing that, the cooperation and the collaboration between government and the sector becomes crucial to ensure that the obligations are not being imposed just for the sake of compliance, but they are used to help the country to move forward in terms of achieving the targets that have been set up. And there was an issue around the campaign convention. This is a convention between different countries to be used in instances or cases where there's an emergency situation. So it facilitates that if there was an emergency situation, whether it's an earthquake, how do you then bring communication equipment, service communication, service communication under such circumstances? You have to deal with how you really normally have a formal process for how someone brings equipment to the country. But under such instances, how will that happen? To gather and make sure that the communication is quickly formed. And another part of this process, we also identified the need to find a way out to be, get South Africa to be participating as part of that campaign conversation. I think the other one was to deal with the time frames, how the time frames encourage competition issues. And the approach on the infrastructure sharing, the one thing which is reality is that the ICT sector requires a lot of investment upfront in order for one to point things, and then again, it takes some time, but we've got multiple service providers. So those are investing, yes, we need to find ways to encourage the investment, but create a framework that allows others to also compete. So the competition in terms of allowing existing players who've got infrastructure to enable other service providers to come into the network and provide services as those open access infrastructure.
and other regulatory frameworks, like certain issues around roaming and the more industrial network operators, how to create an environment that also allows that they are also sustainable and also able to effectively compete. While ensuring that infrastructure gets rolled out in the other areas.
So thank you so much. My apologies first for coming late. I think there was just a delay in terms of the first just to come to get up. My apologies. And I wanted to contextualize one issue though with respect to the auctioning, the procedures can come out of auctioning. That every individual market is actually facing a different situation. I think the order of magnitudes of resources which should be generated in traffic would be much, much smaller compared to what actually is here in the first place. I think within the European Union, there are other directives which are EU, creating the EU as a common market, where the operators in one market can operate in the other market, which means that market must move. Also, if you look at Brazil, in terms of the size of the economy of Brazil, and the communication first also, these figures which are here are quite exaggerated in terms of our own situation. Now, also, the dynamics of South Africa, and when you look at the market structure in South Africa, and see the dominance of the two operators, and the dominance which is over almost actually for 80% of the market concentration. And then, effectively, any auction which would then actually have to be under the gate would be like auction which is based on those already existing in the market. Then the chances of exclusion are quite high, but two, the chances of collusion loss, which is like 7% are very, very high. And then three, the results come out of it, so might be even onerous on them in terms of the development of the infrastructure in the rural area. So I think these are being considered, this auctioning approach has been considered. And I think the overriding thing is that it would give sort of something quite different in terms of both the resources which could be generated, but two, the outcomes might be not the proper rollout of the network and which involves the rural area which are in this region. I just wanted to ask to that one.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. The first issue that, of course, we would desire that we auction an assignment of term bigger than the anticipated term. But to that end, on the side of questions, because one will have to look at what comes out of the advocacy policy review and the document that is going to be published in March and how that has got implications for the regulator. As I said, we have published the information memorandum, which then looks at, you know, amongst others, what should be the framework of licensing conditions and so on, and I'll come back to the situations of what conditions. And we've already received inputs from industry, from Commission and Maranda. The key question is, if there are substantive new issues that arise out of the policy documents that the department is going to publish, we may be inclined to fell concerns on the information memorandum before we publish the ICA. The second issue is we have built into the information memorandum the coverage obligations and then other obligations that we think would help in transforming the sector, issues of SDI, those who be assigned certain special banks before they roll out from the national codes, they have to start with rural areas, that's like the amenity. So that the proposed obligations that are there in the education program and probably the large forming basis of finalizing the ICA. We believe that options have a latency mechanism. The most transparent manner of assigning spectrum and to the spectrum quicker and it also encourages leaders to visit us today of the spectrum. And it also treats all leaders equally. It's unlike beauty contracts where we disclose to leaders challenge and delays spectrum relief, and it consumes a lot of resources of the better results of it. Of course, there are unintended consequences which the GDG have highlighted, but they don't obtain in all circumstances. The numbers that we have indicated are not the numbers that we pass to exist what South Africa would be like in terms of their exposure. I mean, Ghana has that option done by two in 800, for a billion, right? So that probably gives you an idea. Actually, I think by two, that it can be the option. The 700, the point we're making, Honorable Stephen, that with the WRC 2015, 700 is not allocated for the primary variety, unlike in 2012, when it was allocated on a core primary basis. Broadcast up an IMT. That's the point that we're making. So, and the issue of the timelines, that led one to contingent one, what comes out of the policy process, what it will mean for the regulation, because we are trying to consider policy parameters from now and give the perspective in issues which were not addressed in the information embargo. We need the thoughts and concerns on those in order for us to be part of the national system. So, that is for trade, health, and so on. And, but the other contingency is that we've got to supply this market in Iran so that we clear those two bands, 700 and 800, so that they're fully available for all out of the broadband services, including the issues of the ATL that are still there. So, all of that, we hope, as we proceed with the licensing process, they will move in tandem and partaking of the termination will be an issue of high priority. I'm not sure if there's any that is under
document. Thank you. I'm not sure what the official that was raised in relation to new entrant or new player in the market. It's quite a tricky environment to try and license somebody new. Roughly 22 years after the start of the mobile operation, we took everything there. That is why you find some of the, if you take Telecom that decided to enter mobile space on its own. In fact, Cell C has settled since 2021 for the license, and especially licensed 7 years of travel competency and a license. However, when you decide to put new entrants in the market, one of the things that any sort of decision you have to make is a choice between two things. That you concentrate to a certain extent, and on the other hand, try to segment that one as much as one. India has had a tendency of segmenting spectrum, but the licensing according to vision, which is the model that they've adopted in time model. Every time we talk about licensing in South Africa, we talk about essentially, we've already told the result of the Altec ruling that the 500 and so on players. Effectively, those that are actually operating in the market, they are no more than three. That are actually operating in the telecom space or something like that, or what does it mean? Or in IFG. They are few. However, as we think about spectrum policy and comes out the main part of doing the everyone's infrastructure competition in certain. But to cut it down to one, the number of players are not interested in building their friends, that's why I have to go to the today. They're not interested in building infrastructure, but they want to use the infrastructure. Of course, they must pay for it in order to use that infrastructure. But if you then also consider putting new entrants in the market, then you must put only other conditions in place in order to cut them. The economy is GSM 2G and the economy of LTE are completely different. You grapple in LTE, you grapple with issues around speed, the type of speed you can get. After we would have noticed that in the mobile environment, in a particular area, there's more and more players going to the network, the speed is increasing. That is the nature of mobile environment. Therefore, the bigger the chance of spectrum that is allocated, the better the cost of spectrum. Those are choices that we have to fully tackle. How do you make sure that new entrants have got access to the existing infrastructure that has been deployed by the operators? That's why we have the infrastructure sharing judgment of position here. Here is what we are saying. Operators must consider actually building a network right. And regardless of what we may try to think about spectrum, we can allocate spectrum and cut it up as much as we want. The spin-off of what is happening as a result of that is that money players will simply consolidate. That's by chance. In order to make sure they have access to that spectrum. Those are trends that tend to emerge as you like to interest all the people or all the players in the market and all. It continues to happen even now. The bigger players are buying LSPs or they are buying other players because they are looking for better analysis. That's the evidence that I wanted to point out around the access to everything but received by the new players. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any follow-up or any more questions? Thank you very much, Chairperson Minister. On my side, it's really just a small intervention. I just wanted to hear from our colleagues from ICASA as to how they see ongoing cooperation and alignment in terms of our thinking about the appointment of spectrum to relevant bands. As I see some difficulties if we do not have a way of aligning our thinking from a policy point of view to a regulation setting. There's that slide that is on the board. I think it says a lot where it talks about the encouragement of transformation. Encouraged transformation in the sector. And I was trying to understand, it's a guiding objective for spectrum assignment. But this guiding objective, I'm not sure whether they are fair enough when we talk about encouraged transformation. Trying to see whether are we on the same page in our thinking. If we see this as a scarce resource and which should be deployed in such a way that it helps us to take us from where we are. You remember the slide where the department showed us where we come from and how we have started to ensure that we connect South Africa and the impact that goes that connectivity, especially from the point of contributing to the GDP of the country. And having applied those two for ICASA, also I'm interested to talk a little bit to what Honorable Shi said about whether they three and eight. I know that the second PG touched on that, to integrate the chapter of spectrum as the minister said within the whole ICT policy review document. I really think if we are thinking about this scarce resource in terms of what we are trying to achieve, to me it will appear to be logical that we can't take it away from other critical the mandate of the department broadband rollout and what it will take, the pillars that we have to put in place for those who have been excluded to be included as well. I don't see it otherwise, whether we can think about it outside the overall ICT regime, let's not get one out, the impact that we desire in terms of e-governance services, the e-strategy for all of this. I just wanted to flag this for you.
Let me just start by saying it's a little bit difficult because we're still looking at the budget. You must remember, when writing policy is trying, it's trying to you should take, which will help you to achieve the objectives in the long term, not choices for short term things. So the first thing is that let me start with the question of standalone. The big challenge, which has been the problem for the industry, the big certainty, is that we have underlying policies which are contradictory now as we move forward. And the issue of the overarching ICT policy becomes more urgent and critical. Even this sector, it is highly linked to other policies which are part of that overarching ICT policy. I know in the new policy discussions one looking when reviewed extensively the issue of universal access and coverage. There will be a chapter on that. And the obligations we put to the companies were trying to rationalize and minimize these regulations obligations. So I'm just trying to say, if you can't be important, you can't have one policy which is set alone, another one tomorrow is set alone, but they talk to the same image. When we talk about digital society development, so we have to also take those things, what is the impact on the citizens, on the economy, about an aspect of the economy. So it becomes very important when you talk about demand side. Measures of policy, whether it's about content and so on, that we must also see what is coming out on the supply side in terms of infrastructure, equipment, and so on. Those are supply side measures. So we need an integrated policy, and we know the issue of spectrum is quite urgent. And thereby, we are advising our colleagues in the government. Please don't send all these things because they are spending quite confusion in which direction we are taking. We send one way, and I'm happy that they have mentioned that the reason for the policy to finalize. We already said it's not going to be the decision in that policy. We are not going to continue things which have not worked to develop this industry. We are not going to continue with things which are not addressing the key challenges facing our country. You see, South Africa has got its own unique characteristics, where a given chunk of people were excluded from participating in meaningful economic activities. We cannot continue to ignore the issues of transformation. We cannot continue to exclude others from participating and say, well, let us where we go, who are they already, as long as they keep on doing that. We have to allow more people. As I said, the key thing is, do you want competition on infrastructure? As the primary goal, or you want to shift it to transfer? That's the key question the honorable members have to assist them to address. And really, we don't see, we encourage investment in infrastructure. We incentivize investment in the infrastructure. But it can't be the main basis for competition. We also say, even the incumbents, whether you're talking about seats or mobile, they grew because of government policies. But we're faced with it where there are others who are interested to participate in this sector. They're stable. As the CEO said, they are not able. Not because others are efficient, it's not about efficiency. It's because of the market power. Monopoly, duopoly. It's not because those others are more efficient. If they were more efficient, all good. Good for the market. So the question is whether there's as I said, there will be shift. There'll be a shift, we're seeing the spectrum of the public stock. As the presentation has said, it can't be just because it's allocated to you in your forever. Depends whether you're using it efficiently to meet these national objectives. It can't be on the first come, first basis. Because if that, we will continue with the current market structure. The NPC says we want to build that market structure. And that is exactly what we'll be doing is we're gonna like and as I said, it can't be, we'll shift away from creation of artificial monopolies or duopolies, which are there because of the state action or policies or current policies which are existing. And allow new entrants to come in if they wish to come in. We'll encourage the fact that I think one of the speakers has just said, Shonika, we have to find a way to encourage the fact that we really cooperate and roll out infrastructure in the public interest and benefit economic value out of it, but instead of really competing just for the infrastructure. Can you imagine how many sites you have built for mobile? Every year we have to have this tower. Every house will have to have a tower. And also as we go to more demanding use of the spectrum, because we talk about this mobility and the interconnectedness as well as the most of this voice revolution. So I thought I should just give this background, but it's not by accident that we are putting it as part of the integrated ICT policy review, but there will be share on the spectrum. And that has been encouraging, even during all these processes from Green Paper, Training Paper, and so on, to the panel review, the industry has been having influence. And what is coming out, everybody agrees with the spectacle. That's what it is like in Atlanta. And the allocation is equitable. But when they come to me, as a minister, can you allocate time to me? I'll really deliver things that make you achieve your target. That's not the approach we're creating for the government. Let me just be pointless about where we'll save a certain player over time. So the issue about options. As we consider this, yes, is that the approach? I don't know whether that is the final approach, but really we look at if you are engaging in the regulator. Don't spend much time on this option. They are not the only way forward. South Africa, where there's such a huge infrastructure gap and asset gap to a large chunk of people, of the population. We have to say, do we have one to gain money, Shepherd? Part of this thing. Is it a fundraising mechanism? Fundraising for what? That would be another question if there's a fundraising. Sorry? Oh. Okay. Yes, if we can raise money, I love it. The government can have more money. But to us, it's about services to the people. That's the most driving thing. It's about making sure that the services reach every South African. If we can get money for it, good. Are we going to make the spectrum free? That's not the also the approach we're following. Should it be the high leader? It may not be necessarily the best, but we're considering what would be the better approaches to it. But definitely, we are not proposing to refine a line. I don't think calling that option is the only way. There are options, the options they raise, like in Mexico, like in Rwanda. They are delivering their networks. They are not following the option route. But they are capable of delivering the network across the population. So we have to look into that. We have to look what is the national interest of South Africa first. Before we look at all these things. The data will have to read if we consider the option. What are the names to the small one? Where will they be? Will they be at the mercy of the big ones getting to this? And we know how the market power relations are made in the market. So, the study or the option, we thought about it. It was one of the options. Even in the panel report to me, it was not the most favored system. But it's there as an option. But it was not the most favored, even when the panel was considering this. As I tried to say, we're observing the public, we're listening to what comes out of the public, what are the views of the industry and the public, because also citizens have to be, their views must be taken into account. In relation to the policy, we are trying to clarify the role. What is the role of the minister as a policy maker? And what is the role of the regulator? Because it's important that we are also saying that there must be closer working relationship, because if one is pulling the other direction and the other is pulling the other direction, it may cause problems, as I said, in the market. Like other days, I've met some of the CEO of this company. What's your view on what was published last year? So it was the policy. It's a policy which will then guide the regulator on what to do. You might remember one of the proposals which came out there was that we should allocate set aside necessarily for high demand background for protein rollout. We are still considering all those things. And we are not looking, as you said, sometimes we have a choice where you can't do things, smaller pieces to specify recharge. We are not looking at that. We want the whole inch of the to be available for all the children of South Africa to eat. We are not trying to in our awareness, what is there? We're definitely not looking at that, because it's not going to assist us to achieve the future utilization in the future if we keep on, this is what the city means, and this is what for me, this is what for Chief, this is what for McCain. And other keys would be getting money. So the issue of open access network, it's one of the charter of the new ICPQ review, in line with what came also from the entity that gets in the system and then gives a lucrative option. So I also suggest and give that the allocation of trade funds is done in the vehicle. There's an international element of it, but it has to make that decision, that policy choice. Whether you comply with those international things or you still retain certain euro special, that's a policy choice in particular country. Then the assignment to like the normal responsibility of the regulator to then assign in line with policy. Because that assignment can be outside the policy. And so if you do that, then you cause confusion in the industry. But remember, these people have to invest their money. They are looking at a long-term investment and return, so there must be clear secondary of what is going to happen. My understanding also is that what I can see is about long-term licenses, the spectrum allocation is reduced on a year-to-year basis. But we want to create secondary about that allocation of the spectrum to those licenses. In a longer term. I think they're talking about the issue of DTT. We really hope that now that the status has been completed, but also for impact on when do you actually, not just for impact on the location and the assignment, but when it becomes available. Because I can assign it to you, but if it's not available to you, you have to meet it. So we would be working with the other system to monitor that because of what better interest that the spectrum for this mobility and broadband must be available for that particular purpose as soon as possible. Clearly, as I said, there is no intention for us to cause any delay. Maybe let me answer a question you raised about time frame. The time frame you said is a very specific until my cabinet. Cabinet is a structure which is going through all processes. They have to abide their mind. They don't just say something because they come from me as a minister and the department and the industry. They must have a view. So I can't describe those standards. And it's my wish because I know our cabinet is also looking at the issue of spectrum as a matter of patience. They've been calling us high and push and finalize this thing as soon as possible. I don't think they'll be sticking on the policy from the cabinet side, but they do not have a view. So that's why we didn't push. But as soon as cabinet is finalized, then we will set the policy direction and we'll work with the cluster to then work the way forward in terms of the having a plan and a plan, etc. So, I'm sorry, it was not justified because the current processes we cannot describe, but I know the cabinet is also taking this matter as a key. As soon as we finalize the policy, it will be a key for the growth of the industry and the rollout. You also said there's this debate about duopoly. It's good. I think I partially answered that. I don't really subscribe to that. I study as a citizen from this country. Yes, in other countries maybe it's good, but I don't believe that it is good that we should just let your colleagues in South Africa and hope that they'll compete. Your colleagues collude. And it becomes very difficult for the regulator or competition authorities to unearth that policy. It takes time. So, my sense is that we don't want those who are currently operating. I know some of them, they call us the LTE network. Much more than the CEO has been saying, they are rolling out networks. what would be the change in policy, what would be a transitional mechanism should allow reasonable transitional mechanism so that the lower who feels that the investment was useless want to build those networks. We are not going to destroy those networks which are there now. We want to build on them, but we want a network which should be allocated sufficient spectrum to deliver these mobile services based on at the required speed without the necessity for the network operator to invest so much on duplication of infrastructure or putting what you call this thing, the infrastructure because of the constraint of the spectrum. We want to allocate adequate chunk of spectrum for broadband services. I thought that those were the questions which were directed to us at Shepherdson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Any follow-up questions on the agenda?
Thank you. Just a couple of comments, really. When, firstly, around the auctions, I found the positions quite interesting because we had a cost that seems to be, firstly, I'm sorry if I don't know your name, but I think you're the champion for spectrum. You sounded very much like a lawyer. You get the purse and the cons, but you walk straight down the middle road. And then DG weighed in very heavily with hard bats, anti-auctions. And then we had Ricardo, who seemed pretty pro-auctions. And then we had the minister sort of weighing slightly against the side of auctions. But I wasn't overly influenced by the numbers I saw on the page. You know, when I can't convert foreign countries into rand, then I get lost in the biggest. Because they just become so large. But I wasn't influenced by the money so much as the possibility of using spectrum as an incentive in an auction, which you can do, I believe. It doesn't have to be purely about money. So, for example, if you went to some of the players and you said the auction is based around how much services or how much infrastructure you can roll out in rural areas, and then the person that manages to roll out the most gets the spectrum. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not purely about money. But I like the auction as a market mechanism, maybe personally. Then in terms of transforming the sector, I always find the term transformation quite interesting because clearly it's not just about the racial transformation. If you look at the way, and thank you, Professor Barnes, a little bit of information, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, and we've been fed a whole lot of knowledge as members of the portfolio committee over the last couple of months. So we have this a bit more knowledge than we had perhaps a year ago. But when the mobile licenses were first issued in the transitional period between the apartheid regime and our new democracy, there was some issues around the allocation of those licenses, and there was a transformational aspect that was included in those companies. And obviously with listed companies and public ownership, the ownership of those companies is perhaps much wider than it would have been before. So when you talk about transforming the sector, we have and I was on government positions veering away from telecom, the monopolistic one, but very much in favor of telecom and all these now this widening of that. So we now have more than just the two players. We have them, we have Telfi, we have Telcom. You know, so it's not just the geography. When you talk about transforming the sector, what do you mean? What's the perfect telecommunications ICT sector look like to you? Thank
you. The transformation, the first and the foremost, allows the participation of black, meaningful participation of black. You cannot exclude black majority of the discussion. You cannot exclude such a big majority from meaningful participation. That's because we inherited from colonialism and apartheid. Understood? So that is fair and normal. The second, we cannot have an economy which is run by men or white men.
It is not also include white women and black women. So we cannot have an economy of pressure of the economy which doesn't keep the interest of the other vulnerable groups, whether it's the youth or the state. That's the first level of the transformation. The second level, participation, meaningful participation. That was that said. Meaningful participation. That meaningful participation, you can come in different formats. I can kind of mention that. Let me go to other aspects of transformation. We have to allow every South African citizen to participate in this economic activity. Big and small. All enterprises, they are the biggest creator of jobs, much more than the big corporations. So, if Honorable Mackenzie wants to open a telecom company, he has the right to participate. You may choose the segment that you want to participate in. But being small, we tend to be more innovative in servicing the people. The services to the consumers tend to be better if they allow many operators are just allowing how is it going to allow the new entrants of any kind we have in this country to participate? How is it going to allow the new investors, where they're coming from outside, to participate? But more important, our own people. Thank you very much.
Comment, Minister. Not very often I get a chance to influence members of the government. If we look at an innovator like Mark Zuckerberg, for example, he invented a product. He didn't go in and tackle the computers or the manufacture of computers or circuit boards or even the development of software, which was a Microsoft monopoly. Or he didn't go into that area. He went into an area on top where there was space for him to innovate, to create something new, and became an incredibly wealthy man in the process. The same thing on mine. So perhaps, you know, and again, if you look at the duopoly, Professor Barnes, you know the discussion we had around over-the-top services. There all the room is for innovation, to really make an impact, to really make money, without going into the computer kind of things, the infrastructure side of things. I'm saying that right at the top, that the unexplored space, there's all the room is for innovation. And I agree with you, Minister, we have many innovative young people in the country who can make an impact in this space. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I can see that the course is very I'll have to comment later. No, but we really encourage, we encourage those who are still about space and time to study the time. We have to that. We encourage them. Very glad that most of our colleagues here are studying. I agree with you. I agree with you, we should try and shift slowly away from competition and infrastructure to competition and finances. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Minister Ndeba. I think for me, this discussion, Minister, was just for us to get a sense where the issues are and where we are in terms of this policy process, especially because it's one of the key areas. And following from the discussion and the input that was made from the cabinet and the CASA, would have a follow-up discussion just after the policy has been adopted, agreed upon, so that we can have more detailed discussion, because by that time we know where the direction is. And I'm hoping Minister that attends as we go into our budget process, so that we can have that process in discussion, you know, around that time, which will help us. Because we need to know where the direction is so that we can be able to oversee that process. So I just wanted to emphasize that this is quite a nice thing. At least we have a sense. We can sit and see where the different of issues are of idea and where we need to close the gap if there are. But it will be interesting for us to engage meaningfully once the policy has been agreed upon, but it will be before us so that we can look at it. I know that in terms of that policy process, it's still optional for you to come through to the committee, only at this stage point. I would really appreciate if you can find time to, or make us part of the process, so that we are taken on board, because I know it's not prescriptive on the part. It's only prescriptive when it comes to legislation period. But I would really appreciate if you could take us into on board of the discussion, so that as a portfolio committee, we are more aware of the issues that are there, that we can raise and what we have been able to complete as the Department of Development with the CASA. And obviously with the CASA, we definitely also engage further, look at the processes. I did look at one of the issues as well last year. It's quite good to see, at least at a sense, of what are the discussions, what are the things, what is possible, so that we go forward. Because sometimes some of the issues which delay is the challenges. When something is to them, then there's challenges and all that. So if you have a sense of thinking around of issues, it helps. You know the direction that you're like to see. I think it's had quite a quick meeting and quite a short amount of time. I always enjoy my meetings when I'm like this. So thank you very much, members. We'll meet again next Tuesday. The meeting is adjourned.